Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm excited to have you back on the podcast with me again so I can help you out with something that I think is one of the biggest pros when it comes to deciding that you don't want to necessarily be in network with insurance companies. And that is the flexibility to do many other things outside of your organization, in particular on the back end, that I guess you could do in network practice, but oftentimes they're overlooked because all they focus on is patients, 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 and in particular, new patients discharge. And it is a frustrating business to own, I think is the best way to put it. Now, what I want you to understand is that there's different kinds of revenue, and revenue where you are constantly having to sort of eat what you kill is, it's definitely a variation of revenue that a lot of companies have and can successfully do so, but it's one of the more stressful ways to run a business versus what we consider recurring or reoccurring revenue is much better, where you already have people and you're keeping them happy for a long period of time, helping them solve a problem or, you know, create a solution, achieve something, a goal of some sort. And that revenue is much more predictable and you don't have to necessarily go and try to chase down new people all the time. So what I want to do is be able to get into a topic that I kind of consider this idea that it's not all about patients. And in particular, it's not all about new patients. And I want to talk to you about some of the ways that, you know, people within our mastermind group, our company, and plenty of other smart companies out there in the health and wellness practitioner realm are using their skill set to develop other revenue streams that really help stabilize the business, create opportunities for providers that help break up some of the monotony of just clinic hours all day. And look, I've been there. If you're a younger practitioner, you know, you probably are there right now. And I think many of us would prefer to do a little bit less clinical work and a little bit more variance of what your day looks like, whether that be coaching or teaching or, you know, working on, you know, some digital variation of you know, something that could help the practice. But to be able to have that variance in your day can be a really healthy thing and break up the monotony of your day-to-day. And not just for a PT profession, but really for anybody that has a job. If they just do the same thing every single day, it can start to feel a little bit like Groundhog's Day and they get burned out. And that is definitely a problem within our profession. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into a few areas where I see people effectively being able to create additional revenue streams. And hopefully this gives you an idea of what you can do within within your practice as well, or add some of these in, or think maybe it's not the right fit for you, but some of them may be a great fit for your practice. So number one is corporate workshops and wellness programs. So we have a handful of people in our mastermind group that do a really good job with this. And a lot of this, that really this is where they go in and they provide primarily wellness-based services, whether it be a series of workshops where they're like educating these people that work at these different companies. It doesn't always have to be massive companies. It can be small. We've done this with tech companies, smaller tech companies here in Atlanta, where we come in and over the course of, you know, 3 to 6, sometimes 12 months, we have this ongoing cadence with them of workshops that we're teaching to help educate their staff on how to take care of themselves and really be very proactive about their health. The owners really like this because cuts down on usually sick days, as well as, you know, there's, it's really good for morale for you to bring somebody in and for them to really learn something that's applicable to their own health. Some people don't care. They sit there and, you know, they're almost fall asleep on you, but lots of people really, really like to be informed about how they can live a healthier, you know, like less painful, more active life. And that's a really easy way to kind of start out, is looking at, you know, can you come in and teach these lunch and learns to start with? And does that turn into something a little bit more formal, where maybe you have a series of things you're going over for, let's just call it desk bound athletes, which is something that we present a lot on. Now, this could also turn into what's considered like a corporate wellness program. So this could be structured times where you come in and actually train the staff, you know, run them through workouts, do different assessments on site and work with their staff on site. In many cases, this is a very performance-based approach. Sometimes this is insurance-based, right? So one of our docs used to work at a clinic down in Mississippi, and they actually had a satellite office inside of a shipping company, right there on the water. And they would work with people that were work comp clients on site, and it was super convenient for the company. If that's the population you want to work with, you know, cool. For us, that's not necessarily what we work with, but it's an example of, you know, bringing a service to a company in this sort of corporate treatment or corporate wellness program. We've had people that have gone in successfully and actually started running, you know, these training sessions, these evaluations that they have, and been able to essentially add, you know, 20 to 50% increase in revenue in some cases to their clinics, you know, sort of monthly revenue, just by adding this other stream in that is not covered by insurance at all, and is a really unique utilization of our skill set as a performance-based provider in particular. So if you have any connections with companies, organizations, and oftentimes it's like a warm introduction to somebody that really is a decision maker, it's definitely worth looking at if you enjoy teaching, coaching, and doing so in a corporate environment as well can be a really good way to go about it, because typically bigger companies have more funds to reinvest in their people. That's the way they look at it in many cases, and it's a great place to start to stabilize revenue with this additional revenue stream. Now, let's talk about a couple other options, one of those being coaching and or training. So I think this is a really good utilization of the sort of performance clinician skill set. Many people are doing this, but I think they're doing it. I get a little bit frustrated sometimes when I see people that are like, let's say you're seeing somebody as a PT, it's $200 an hour, and then you're seeing somebody as a personal trainer, and it's $100 an hour. Yet you still have that same degree, you still have that knowledge base. There's really not much of a difference between what you're going to do with them, aside from probably not doing any hands-on work, but even still, that's not that doesn't warrant half the price. But I do think a lot of people do want that coaching, that more performance kind of training element, and are willing to pay for it as well. And especially if you don't undervalue yourself, it can be a great way for you to add additional revenue to the practice. Now, this could be specific to a niche that you're really good with. So let's say you're a runner, and you know, you're really good at helping people you know, train for and achieve completing their first marathon, right? Let's say that's your thing and you're really good with newer runners that are trying to achieve that goal. Well, you could set up a coaching program specifically for that, where you see somebody, let's call it like once a week, you know, and you have some sort of, you know, coaching cadence with them with what they're doing for their running. And also you're teaching them how to stay strong and recover from the miles that they're going to put in, right? Now, this isn't necessarily directly patient care where you're saying, hey, you know, you have a knee problem from running. Let's fix that so that you can get back to running. This is, hey, you want to be able to do this thing that oftentimes, you know, many people get hurt in the preparation for. And that is something that we can avoid and help you do this, not just successfully, but also faster with least likely, the least likelihood of injury that we can, you know, actually have. And that's something that a lot of people see value in. So think of it as, what are your skills, or what's your skill set? What's the niche you do really well with? That's an example for running, but it really could be any variation of, you know, a performance-based niche that you do really, really good work with and that you enjoy working with. So looking outside, or kind of like taking a step outside and looking at, what other options do I have besides just seeing patients? This is a really natural fit for many of you who have a background in coaching to begin with, like I do, and also enjoy this element of working with people where it's less about solving kind of like pain injury and more about achieving performance and long-term changes in this activity they like so much. Now, this sort of rolls right into another variation that I think is becoming more and more popular. And that is digital programming. So many of you, when you say programming, people think of like, you know, coding and programming on a computer. That's not what this is. Digital programming is you creating a customized program and or blanket program for someone to achieve a specific health and wellness goal. Now, there's two ways to take this. Let's talk a blanket program, right? So, okay, one of my business partners has a group, and he's not a practitioner, by the way, but he does all the kind of marketing support and tech support for the people in our mastermind group. And he owns a platform called Garage Gym Athlete. Now, Garage Gym Athlete is, you know, anything is anywhere between $25 and $45 a month, but it's very scalable in certain senses. So there's thousands of athletes on this platform. They create, you know, one or two programs that lots of people follow, and it sort of solves, you know, the problem of what do I do if I train at a home in my home gym in a garage? But it's not individualized and specific to one person. It's sort of training to the masses. So if you think of a bell curve, you're sort of trying to catch that 80% of people in the middle, the people that are on that upper end, bottom sort of 10% of the scale. Well, they may not be the right fit for that, but that's okay because there's a lot of people in that 80%. So people will do this with plenty of things, not just performance programming, but even something like, let's say, you know, you have this really good protocol program for people that have knee issues. So, all right, well, you can create a custom or a program for that that's template based, and then you can have somebody follow that. It's very hands-off, can be sold as well, you know, anytime throughout during the day or night. It's a digital program. And there's a lot of appeal to that. I will say that it is one of the harder things to sell compared to, you know, someone working with you in person or creating a custom program for them, even though a custom program is going to be a lot more expensive. Part of it is that people don't see quite as much value in that. There's not as much of a buy-in factor, and the retention rates are pretty low. For those, typically they're anywhere between 2 and 4 months if you're really doing well with a like sort of lower ticket online blanket program. And let's say you're at 6 to 8 months of retention, like that's really, really good. So meaning usually after 2 to 3 months, people are leaving, right? And then you're in this cycle of constantly having to find new customers. But if you can do a really good job with retention, and you can make sure that you're getting enough new people in the door, it can actually be a really, really profitable mobile business that you can own based on what your niche is and what you're solving. Like, so if Jared had written a program that was like, hey, this is a program for everyone to get fit, it's probably not going to sell well because it's so generalized to anybody that it really doesn't appeal to anyone. So you basically alienate everybody by trying to appeal to everyone. And it sounds kind of weird, but the more niche specific you can be and the more verbiage you can use specific to that kind of population, the more likely it is they feel like it's going to be the right fit for them. And they're probably going to want to actually join that program. Now, on the flip side of this, I would say individual program design is another very viable way to start to add, more kind of cash-based, non-insurance, non-patient in particular, directed revenue to the practice. And digital revenue or digital programming can be a really good way to do that. Now, it's not as automated necessarily, and you can't create one program that then 1,000 people follow. But you can typically charge 10 times as much for a individual program than you can for a monthly recurring program. In terms of what you can actually get for your time. So, for instance, if Jared's program is, let's say, $25, then if you know what you're doing and you can help somebody with developing a custom program, you should be able to charge $200 to $300. Some people a lot more than that, depending on, how niche specific they are and their skill set, how well they're known. But even, practices that don't have this big sort of mini celebrity presence, they can absolutely charge somewhere between $150 and $250 per month for a customized digital program. Now, again, with all this stuff, I'm giving you ideas of other things you can do to add revenue to the company. The idea of, the details of selling those things gets a lot more complex than what we're going to be able to cover on this podcast, right? Because ideas aren't worth shit. The implementation of those is really, really, really important. And what I want you to realize is, if you have unique skill set in some of these areas, you should definitely try to dive into them and implement and figure it out along the way. The sales side of it can be the hardest part. And I get this a lot. People are like, how do you get people to pay, for programming? That just doesn't seem like anybody would do that when they could follow some blanket program online. Well, I guess, but if you can have an informed conversation with them about the limitations that they have, the change they're trying to get, and the solution you can create for them, it's actually a very easy thing to sell. So it just depends on how you position that. But if you really look at it, I had a conversation with a guy in our mastermind the other day that we were doing a one-on-one call, and checking in on his business, doing really well, and primarily just doing sort of patient visits and some performance coaching in clinic. But I asked him about some digital stuff and what he was doing for that. And he said, yeah, I've got about 6 people that I'm programming for. It's averages about $300 a month. And none of these people are patients that he's seen, previous patients he's seen. They're all just had reached out to him via Instagram or connected through somebody that had never, they're all people he'd never seen in person. And so he had these 6 people that he was programming for. It was taking him about 45 minutes per month to actually manage each of these people. So really his hourly is higher than 300. And for what his average clinic rate was about 200. And I asked him, I was like, man, well, why, if that's the difference and you actually like doing this, and he did, and he's a really good strength coach before going back to PT school and had just continued to focus on that area. And so had a really unique skill set like many of us in this performance realm. I asked him, I was like, well, why haven't you tried to get any of the people that you've already seen to do programming with you? Do you think like some of them would be a good fit for it? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. He goes, I just never even really thought about doing it. And, if you do the math on that, and let's say he can, bring it up to 20 people, which is very possible for somebody to manage that, especially if you really look at being efficient with your time, if it's taking you 45 to 60 minutes per month, then, he's going to add an additional, he'll have $6,000 of recurring revenue added to his practice just from something he can do when he's not even at his office. Right. That's a pretty unique place for a PT to be. And it's also a great way to stabilize your revenue because he does enjoy working with people in clinic. And this just allows him to then have this additional impact on people outside of that, hey, let's solve this pain problem. Let's get you back to this thing. And then it's like, let's get you better at this thing. We do this for people all over the country. A good example would be one of the people that we work with is, sounds kind of odd to say this out loud, but she's like an ultimate Frisbee player, but it's a club. It's a popular club sport, not something that I played when I was in high school, but it's becoming much, much more popular. Some of you probably just like, Yeah, no, Ultimate Frisbee is awesome. It is. It's a great workout, and it's super, super fun. But this is a very competitive ultimate player. Like, she plays on one of the best college club teams in the country. She's from Atlanta. And the issue with it is her school, you know, doesn't care about club girls, ultimate Frisbee. They don't have any sort of strength coach assigned to them, but they play a ton of games. They practice a huge volume, and they're very competitive. They take it very seriously. So she's putting in, you know, essentially Division I time, practice and games. And she really doesn't have any idea what to do to support that from a performance standpoint. So it's a natural fit for us to say, cool, well, let us, you know, program what you should do. You're motivated to do so. You have access to this, you know, the school's athletic, you know, whatever, gym and all the resources. You just don't have any coaching. So we just need to know what you have, what your goals are, what your sport domain is, and then we create a program for you. And, you know, we can hold you accountable on that, and we can change things based on how you're feeling. And, you know, that's a really interesting way for us to have this compounding effect on somebody that we've already helped with this injury, get over that, and then get back to a high level of performance, but also to create these ongoing service, streams that actually help the business be very sustainable and not have to constantly try to find these new people to help, you know, be a profitable business each month. And so I want you to really think, what else can you do outside of finding new patients, helping new patients not be in pain anymore, and then telling them goodbye, you know, and discharging them, which is really what many people do, to how can you have this ongoing relationship where you're still providing value? Like, we obviously don't want to have people just come back or to follow a service that we have without any sort of reason to do so. But if we can help people in these other ways, and, you know, they want our help in these ways, it's a natural fit. The other piece along with this, with the digital programming, would be something like nutrition coaching. We get this a lot with people, especially if they're diving into, you know, getting into macros with people, you know, helping them develop intermittent fasting protocols, you know, or it could just be legitimately behavioral changes associated with nutrition. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest barrier for a lot of people with nutrition is There's an emotional part of it, a huge emotional part of it, in terms of comfort food and stress eating, and, you know, why do you feel like you need to do this, you know, or eat this type of food? And it's drawn back to a lot of other things besides just the desire to eat food, right? So having a coach be able to help you with that, and many of the people in our profession are very interested in, you know, all aspects of health and wellness, and nutrition is a big part of that. So being able to do nutrition coaching is very viable. You know, again, that's something that people are paying anywhere between $100 and $300 a month for, depending on how hands-on you are with somebody and check-ins and all that stuff. But again, something you can do from really anywhere if you have a unique desire to do so, skill set, and you can have a conversation, an intelligent conversation with somebody about what they're trying to achieve and how you can help them get there. I've even seen people that do custom breathing programming for like a couple $100 a month. There's a few different groups that do this, and they basically just build in custom breathing programs based off of many cases like CO2 tolerance testing that they do and coaching with breathing. Talk about a niche, man. Like, that's pretty damn niche specific, but people will do it if that's something that, you know, really provides value to them and something that they need. So think outside the box a little bit with this. These are a few options that you have. Get out of the, I would say, this sort of antiquated mindset of new patients discharge that has been ingrained in many of us via what insurance says we can and can't do based on what they're willing to pay us for, versus, hey, what are your skill sets? What do you enjoy doing? What can you help people do more of or get better at? And then how do you have services or products that you can position in a way that is complementary to that, and that you can generate these ongoing recurring revenue streams, you know, for your business with, that help stabilize the business, but also help you get better long-term outcomes for the people that, you know, have already worked with you and would love nothing more than to continue to work with you. They just don't know what else you can do, you know, and there's really only kind of two reasons that people stop buying from you. Number one, you don't give them anything else to buy. And number two, you've pissed them off. Like, they just, They just don't think they need anything else from you, you know, or they just don't know what else you have to offer and why it's important. So, you know, which one is it? Is it that you just haven't given them anything else to buy? If so, you might be sitting on a massive amount of potential revenue that you're just not even realizing. And if you piss them off, then why, what'd you do? You know, can't make everybody happy, but I mean, that's a legit reason as well that we tend to see people just not come back. So something to think about as well, but that's it, guys. So think about, can you do corporate wellness workshops, things like that. Can you do performance training, you know, where you're actually coaching people and you're using your skill set with a sport that maybe, you know, you have a really strong background in. And then on the digital side, the world's a big place. It's not just the people in our office. That definitely is an easy place to start, but you know, programming for health and wellness and then nutrition, breathing, whatever it is that you're good at and you feel like you can help somebody with, that's a great place to start. It's a great place to start to add a recurring digital element to your business that can give you some flexibility of where you can work, which is pretty unique for our profession. There's really not a lot of options like that because we're so one-on-one, like we're in the clinic, multiple people, and we're tied to a really strict schedule. And this gives us some flexibility, at least part of our week where we can do this from, you know, somewhere else and still use our skill set in a really unique way. So hope this helps. I love it when people start to look at their business from a different lens and take a step back and think, all right, well, what else can I do to add value to people? What unique skill set do I have? And then where do those align so that you can then start to build your business in a much more well-rounded way versus just relying on the one thing that everybody thinks about, which is new patients. And if you're in an insurance practice, you got to also realize, you know, every year for who knows how long, reimbursement's pretty much gone down somewhat. And I don't know about you, but it's highly unlikely that all of a sudden, you know, United and whoever else, Blue Cross, say, you know what? We have been assholes. We're going to start paying you guys more. You deserve it. Like, you think that's going to happen? Probably not. So being able to add in some sort of non-insurance-based revenue stream to your practice can help insulate it from a lot of changes that are probably going to continue to occur going forward and allow you to really, you know, employ a lot of people. That's the key, right? Like, we have these businesses because we want to help people, but also provide jobs for other people so that they can, you know, live their life and they can provide for their family. And you can't do that if you don't have enough revenue to keep the lights on. So as always, guys, I appreciate you listening. Thanks for everything. And we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.